You know, we talk a lot on this show about connecting with audiences, but how often do we really understand what people are feeling? That's where Talkalytics comes in. Talkalytics is a voice-based feedback platform that doesn't just capture what people say, it analyzes how they say it. Tone, emotion, sentiment, the stuff that traditional surveys miss completely. It's like running a global focus group on demand, helping brands fine-tune their messaging, their positioning, even their product strategy. Because when you know how people feel, not just what they say, your decisions get a whole lot smarter. And here's something to think about. Emotionally connected customers spend twice as much on the brands they love. If you're ready to really listen, go to talkalytics.com/getinsights for a free demonstration. That's talkalytics.com/getinsights. Talkalytics, the truth is in the tone. Listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded live at Advertising Week Europe 2025 in London, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technology communities. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, left a positive review, or shared with your friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the AW360 podcast, where we're recording live on day three, the final day of Advertising Week Europe 2025 here at 180 Studios in London. I'm now joined by John Goulding, founder and CEO at Atomic. John, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Really enjoying the day.
Well, the natural thing to do here would be to kick things off and have you tell us about Atomic.
Well, it's great to be here. Atomic is an independent creative agency. We founded it back in 2012. It's been going 13 years. Very much a kind of multi-discipline creative company. And it really, it was born out of a belief that Flight genuinely deserved faster growth. And I think back then it was about integration, and today it's about really bringing together different skill sets around what we call an atomic orbit.
Excellent. Well, Atomic appears to have a pretty bold goal to be the most creative, most connected agency out there. What made you take that particular leap, and how are you making that vision real?
Yeah, so it is a bold ambition and a vision. And I think it really came out of the fact that genuinely, particularly in this market, the agencies are pretty siloed. It's an industry challenge. And there are lots of very creative agencies, typically had been the ad agencies, and many very, very good capable channel expert agencies, but very hard for clients to find that under one roof. It's just a nature partly of the market here. So our goal was really to kind of bring that together so that they can get the creative height and the connected channel disciplines all under one roof. And that's really been the vision.
That siloed part, that's specific to the UK?
I think other markets are siloed. I think, you know, if you look to Australia, they're probably the least siloed. Typically, really? Very, very connected agency plays. But in the UK, it's been very much advertising, social, digital have been quite silo segmented capabilities. I think it's just the way the industry has grown up.
Interesting. You've talked about creativity as a driver of real business growth, not just something to win shiny awards, which I love that. What does that kind of creativity look like in real life practice?
So I think the big thing for us is about growth and brand transformation. That's not just about executions and campaigns, which is, again, typically where a lot of the market kind of focuses. It's about the kind of tactification, if you like. So for us, it's about, we talk about brands having superpowers, and a superpower for a brand is much more than just a positioning. It's not a place in the market in which you're going to occupy. It's about what the brand does as well as what it says. And I think it's really about, you know, really being tough on yourselves around what makes that brand different, not just distinctive. And then kind of using that as the kind of what we call then unleashing it through creative ideas that really allow that brand to then transform its growth. So it's very much built around that sort of belief.
I love that concept of brands having superpowers. Can you give us an example?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really interesting. I think we fundamentally believe every brand has a superpower. We define it actually as the unique thing that the brand does, which will fundamentally improve people's lives. And I think what's interesting when you know, we're great proponents of the likes of Byron Sharp, who I think fundamentally approve that distinctiveness is more important than differentiation. But differentiation, every brand has the ability to do it. And if you can really dig hard and find it, you can then untap that kind of transformational growth. And as one example, we work with Hampton's Estate Agents in the UK. It's a 150-year-old brand who only recently, thanks to working with our guys, have uncovered what their true superpower is relative to lots of very samey and successful estate agents. So I think that's what we do, kind of dig as hard as you need to define it and then unleash it through the creative process.
Interesting. You know, one of the things that's definitely true in the industry right now is there's so much data flying around just within marketing. How do you make sure that data is helping the creative process instead of just getting in the way or worse, damaging it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the truth is data fundamentally, I think, is the fuel for creativity. I think the issue now is the snow blindness, the overwhelm. I think clients and agents can be kind of paralyzed with that sort of overload. But the truth is that, you know, creativity, even, you know, decades ago, was really the kind of the fuel for some of the best ideas. So I think the way we approach it is there's no perfect solution. No client we've ever spoken to has got the perfect MarTech stack. They haven't got their data lakes in crystal blue hues. You know, it's about finding a source of data that you have confidence in, using it with a creative idea. And if it works, use it again. And it's about taking those small steps, really. And it's not really looking for kind of perfection over progress. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, the word transformation gets thrown around a lot these days. I think that's a massive understatement. In your view, what does real transformation look like for brands? And what are some of the common mistakes that you tend to see?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, transformation is thrown around a lot. The truth is, I think for many, many brands, incrementality is actually what they desire and should be aiming for. And that's not a criticism. I think, you know, in a slow growth economy, incremental growth is massively, you know, would be a massive sign of success. But there are brands and the brands that we like to work with where transformational growth isn't just a desired ambition. It's actually a business necessity to stay ahead of the market. So it's the big difference really is about not just what the brand is saying through communications, but how the brand acts and how the brand behaves. Those two things have to go together. And I think we often see some fantastic communications with products which are not up to par, and you will not get transformational growth with that equation. Equally, and I think a lot of the faster growing fintech brands and tech brands, frankly, the product is exceptional, but often the communications are vanilla and often can let them down, and you won't get transformational growth that way either. So really it's about, you have to get those two things working together, transformational comms, transformational behaviors and product, and then you'll get the growth. So I think that's really the difference between that and what is successful, but basically incrementality. And I think the other thing to say is, in terms of mistakes, incrementality is actually the enemy of transformation. Those two things can't exist together. So often you see transformational ambitions, but in reality, the way that the agencies or clients will often treat that brief will be, frankly, probably not the best way versus what their KPIs are. So I think it's really a mindset transformation. It's everything you do, everything you say, the way you behave, all of that has to work in order to achieve that kind of transformational level of growth.
Your previous point there reminds me of the countless times I've found what I feel is a very high quality product that no one else knows about. And you just go, well, I guess they just didn't have very good marketing.
Yeah. I mean, I think you see that a lot. I think partly when those businesses are built often by entrepreneurs or with a lot of financial backing, there is a temptation to say, let's just let the product do the talking.
Right.
And a lot of it you see, I think that's where you see a lot of sea of sameness in incredibly modern and exciting products where they are in effect demos, and yeah, it doesn't cut through. It doesn't really give them the growth they deserve for being, you know, as amazing as those products are.
Well, you've been on both sides now, both big agencies and now running your own shop. What do you think in-house teams and agencies can learn from each other when it comes to staying agile and growing in the long run?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, actually, because, you know, I love working at network agencies. I mean, they're brilliant, fantastic learning grounds. You know, I didn't regret one day that I spent there. The difference, I think, when you're an independent agency or with an independently minded team, is you have to take ownership. That's not just, you know, in terms of owning the company, but it's the ownership of the decisions you make, the recommendations you put forward. You have to own it and believe it. And I think ultimately agility and progress really comes from that sense of ownership. So I think when it comes to in-house teams are fantastic now. You know, that some of the most creatively awarded teams across the world now come from in-house agencies. But often they will struggle to get some of that broader experience across different brands, because clearly they're working on one brand most of the time. So I think for in-house agencies, it's about taking the ownership on yourself to go and have your mind expanded, try and get exposure to work with other brands and bring that back into the organization. On the other side, I think for agencies, you know, what in-house teams do so fantastically well is the speed, personalization, often embracing channels and modern channels much much quicker and more effectively than external agencies. Genuinely, I think a lot of ad agency people or creative agency people should spend time in an in-house agency, see what that feels like, learn the craft, learn how they move, and then bring that back into their own agencies. So I genuinely think that sharing and getting different experiences would help both work much better together. And I think ultimately that is the goal, is for teams, whether you're in-house with an external agency or working as one, how you can work as one team, and then take ownership for the decisions you make, the recommendations, and then, you know, pretty much work as one team. That's the key.
That's an interesting perspective. I've not had anybody tell me that before, that everybody should, you know, it would be good if everybody went and did the in-house thing for a while.
I think without a doubt, I think there's, you know, I think it's always been the case that agency people benefit from working client side. You know, we like to think we understand what clients go through. We don't understand a fraction of the things that they deal with every day. We like to think that agencies are on the top of their mind all the time. They're not.
Yeah.
And the other way around, I think it, you know, to see people who work for the in-house agency, see how creative agencies work and get exposure to different types of talent and how they use actually inspiration from other brands to inform the thinking on you know, another sector, I think is a really, really dynamic thing to be exposed to.
Well, John, this has been fantastic. Thanks so much for taking the time. If one wanted to find out more about Atomic and yourself, where would they go?
Go to the website atomic-london.co.uk. It's a mouthful, but you'll go there. You'll find out about all the orbit of capabilities we have there, from the creative agency to the healthcare agency. We've got a talent company, a social first company, a performance media agency. They're all sat in around the Atomic orbit, as we like to call it, and come and find out more.
Love it. Well, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including The Trust Makers, our podcast with the Edelman Trust Institute, now in its fourth season. You'll find all of Advertising Week's podcasts at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.